Yo, what is happening, guys? Nathan back once again with another episode of the Unplugged Freedom Podcast. And in today's episode, we are going to be talking about Canada's dirty little secret, the secret of mass genocide of children, Aboriginal children. Now, for those of you who don't know, I'm actually half Native from my mother's side and half Hispanic from my father's side. Don't ask about the Hispanic side, I don't know. So Canada has a dirty little secret that a lot of people don't actually know about, and this is the mass genocide of children, of Aboriginal children, that happened long time. Well, I shouldn't even say a long time ago, because in actuality it's not even that long ago. So, I won't get into all the details as to what, remember, one simple podcast is never enough time to get all the information, but what I just simply want to do is kind of get you thinking and get you looking into things. So, why I wanted to make this podcast is simply because this is actually something that a lot of people didn't know about. They had no idea about. And I thought that was really interesting. So let's start about how this all came about. I think my air conditioner is making a little bit too much noise, so hopefully it's not too bad in the background. But how this came about was a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago now, I read an article, and basically we had these residential schools. Let me go back even further just to quickly explain the whole like situation, so that those who have never heard of this before, you actually have a bit of an understanding. So way back in the day, hundreds of years ago, settlers came into Canada, and they actually landed in Canada thinking that they actually landed in India, okay? And that's why a lot of Aboriginal and First Nations, Native people are called Indians. It's because they thought they were in India. And so they said, oh, we're an Indian. These are Indians. And so, but they weren't. They were Native Americans. And so they were like, ah, fuck it, whatever. We'll just continue calling them Indians. And that's how Indians came about in Canada and North America. And that's why if you come to North America is the only place where they talk about East Indians. When they say East Indians, they're talking about actual Indians from India. I'm going to educate you right now. There's only one type of Indian, and it's an Indian who comes from India. Like, that's just common sense. But our own idiocracy here in North America, we call Native Americans Indians still to this day when they are nowhere even near India. Canadians, Americans, Australians, Indians, Fijians. See how this works? Like, it's not rocket science here. So anyways, settlers came, they thought they were in India, they started calling these brown people all Indians. They were wrong, and they continued to do it. So what happened is these settlers, they said, hey, look, we're going to take over this land. And that's pretty much what they did. They just took over the land. They had all the weapons and technology, and they basically decimated, you know, these people. And so they set up these schools, and they were called residential schools. And these residential schools were basically to assimilate the children. So they stole the children from the parents. They forcibly took the children from the parents, and they put them in these schools. They told them that they're not allowed to speak their language. They had to learn about religion. They had to learn about the white culture, the settlers' culture, all their culture. And they had to basically forget about their own culture. And so there are people to this day who went to these schools. It's not, we're not talking about things that have happened many, many, many moons ago that nobody's alive to this day to talk about it. There's plenty of people. My friend's mom is alive and well from being in this situation and knowing what this is like and what these residential schools were like. These people were, these kids were beaten, they were starved, they were malnutritioned, just horrible. They were sexual misconduct. There was all kinds of horrific things that happened at these schools, and these schools were set up all across Canada, everywhere. So basically what happened is over the years Canada has kind of tried to brush this under the rug for quite some time, and rightfully so, because they didn't want their dirty little secret to come out, and 2021 is the year that their dirty little secret is starting to come out. So Canada brushed this under the rug for the longest time as they could. They came out and said they were quote unquote sorry, and but you have a whole generations of people who are traumatized by what had happened. Like, could you imagine somebody just bursting into your house right now, stealing your young children, and you not getting to be able to see them? Like, they're taking your children away and saying that they can't see their family, you can't speak your language. Like, especially in Canada today, like, what do we have? We have families of all different nationalities who speak all different kinds of languages. So just imagine that. And so, or if you're, even if you're English, and just imagine the opposite, if it was somebody coming in and taking over and saying that they can't speak English anymore, they have to speak whatever other language. So that is what's absolutely crazy in this whole situation. So this is what happened. And there are people still alive to this day. I can't remember the exact date of when the last residential school closed, but it was not that long ago when you actually think about it. So what happened at these schools, and what Canada had done when they came and settled here and created Canada Day and created all their parks, like, we have these parks, kind of like what you see in the States, that are happening with these statues being torn down because they were about slavery and all this kind of like different things. What Canada has something very similar. Like, we have parks. I remember this one town that I'm from, we had a Fort George Park. It will forever be known as Fort George Park to me, just because that's the way I grew up. If I'm going to meet someone, like, yo, let's go to Fort George Park. But Fort George, I don't really know the history of them, but they changed that name to, what, Kleletene Park? Something like that? That's, nobody really knows how to say it. I'm sorry. But, so we have this whole, like, these statues, these parks, these different things that are named when the settlers were here, but in reality, the Aboriginal natives, First Nations, I don't even know what the heck you even call them anymore. Like, the changes, and like, one becomes racist and the other one's like, I don't know, it's weird. But I can call it whatever I want because I am it, so bite me. So this all happened, and they're trying to like make peace with the native folks, and there's a lot of misconceptions with native people. First of all, like, a lot of, like, say people who are not native, they're like, oh, so you're native, like, so that means you don't pay any taxes, or like, oh, you get like free health care, and like, oh, you get like free education. I'm like, no, okay? If I want to not pay taxes, I have to live on a reserve. Have you ever seen a reserve? Have you ever been on a reserve? There's a give and take. Is the benefit outweigh the, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, no, I pay taxes, okay? No, I don't get free education. And you'd have to go to school in order to even get that, if you even got it, because it's like, not all bands are created equally. I'm from one band, and you know, like, we're broke ass busted band, you know. Like, they ain't giving out no free education over there. I ain't going to Harvard, all right. Free healthcare, it's not even that good. Like, we already have free healthcare in Canada, and it's not even that good. Like, it might even be better than our free healthcare. Like, really, the only thing that I get from being a native status, like, I have a status card, that's my little thing, I get cheap gas. That is it. Okay, I don't live on a reserve. I don't get all those other benefits, because a lot of the benefits you can get if you actually live on the reserve and you work on the reserve. But other than that, no, I get cheap gas. That's what I do. And sometimes it's not even that good. Sometimes I don't even get it because I gotta drive, like, out of my way. I only go there if I'm, like, on the way, and that is it. So other than that, I get no benefits. So these whole, like, misconceptions are just totally not even relevant. So just trying to think as to, like, where to go with this, trying to explain it to people who may have never heard of this kind of stuff before. So we have Canada trying to apologize and make things right, and that's where the, you know, status came in. And but in actuality, like, Canada is just destroying the native land. Like, they own so little of it, like a minute part of Canada is actual, like, native land. Everything else is owned by Canada, the government, whatever you want to say. And they're building pipelines on it. Pipelines are horrendous because, well, if there's a problem, well, they cause permanent damage. And we had that. We had that here in BC a few years ago. We had a tailings pond from a mine. I think it was from a mine. It burst open and it turned, like, a little creek into, like, a raging river of just harmful chemicals into the water supply. And, like, this is, like, northern British Columbia, where it's, like, pristine waters, and it just was decimated by this pollution. And that's what they're doing to the land. So you see native people all the time fighting for their land because, one, they have very little of it, and two, they want to try and keep and preserve what they do have. So when they're trying to build a pipeline all across and then into the oceans, and it's horrific, because when you think about, like, the native people, like, they're really about the land, and they're really about the animals. And so they're not vegan, they're not vegetarian. If they eat, kill a bear and eat a bear, or eat a moose, or eat a fish, or whatever, they use all the different things from that fish, from that bear. And so it's actually really interesting, you know. They're very thankful for that animal to have given its life to them so that they could survive. And so they're very much about the earth, whereas the 21st century people, they come in and they're just like, no, we don't care about rainforests, we don't care about mangrove forests, we don't care about anything, we're just gonna do as we please. And it is harsh, it's brutal. I think that's where I get a lot of my love for animals from, because a lot of times I have a better relationship with animals than I do with people. Animals make sense. People are just stupid. I'm sorry to say, but they are. Look at today's world. You cannot tell me that people aren't stupid. Just look out into the world today. So we have these people, okay, and they're trying to fight for their land, trying to keep it, and they're trying to tell their story about what happened to them, what happened to their grandmother, their great grandmother, their mother, and nobody's listening to them, okay? Like, just everyday people who are not native, who don't know the story, they just don't listen. They're like, oh, that happened a long time ago. Get over it. That was a really big thing, even for myself. Even for myself, I won't lie, I'll say it. I thought, even as myself, that happened a long time ago, get over it, whatever, let's move on. Because that's just the kind of person that I am. I'm, you know, one that something happens, I'm going to get over it, I'm going to keep moving forward. But unfortunately, I was uneducated back then. And, you know, in high school, you're taught about the settling of Canada and all of this stuff. But in reality, you have no idea that Canada has covered up so much. They make it sound like a little storybook when you're taking social studies in high school. And you're like, oh, so we came in and just kind of like shared the land with them. And we gave them benefits because we took their land. And then we had Thanksgiving to celebrate. And oh, it is just ridiculous. How do I know it's even more ridiculous? I'll tell you. When I was traveling, this is actually, I thought it was fascinating. I was working at this hotel, and I'd go see the guests. I walk downstairs, and these guests are from all over the world. And I'm like, hey, how you doing? I'm Nathan. And so they'd ask me where I'm from. They're like, where are you from? And I'm like, I'm from Canada. I'm like, oh, cool. We've never been there, but we'd love to go. I'm like, yeah, yeah. Kind of small talk, chit chat. And then like later on, they'd be like, you said that you were from Canada. I'm like, yeah. Like, but are you actually from Canada? Like, where are you actually from? I was like, what is that supposed to mean? Like, yeah, but, well, you said you're from Canada, but like, you just don't look like you're from Canada. I'm like, what? Fuck's that supposed to mean? It's like, well, you know, like your skin is like different. I'm like, what? What the hell's wrong with you? I'm like, what does a Canadian look like to you? They're like, I don't know, like maybe like me? I'm like, oh, so you think all Canadians are white, is that it? Oh, okay. And it was so fascinating. This happened way more than you could actually even imagine. And I was like, wow, so people don't even know. People think Canadians look like white folks. I'm not saying that Canadians are not white folks. I'm just saying that, you know, the original purebred born are not white. Okay? There, I said it. So, another thing that was also interesting is that sometimes when people would find out that I was Native American, Native Canadian, whatever you want to call it. Like, I get into so many like arguments with people. They're like, "What was that? Is that what you call yourself? I thought I was called this." I'm like, "I don't care. It all means the same thing, okay? Just use your brain and put two and two together." So I'm gonna call it whatever I feel like calling it, because that's what I feel like doing. So when people would find out that I was Native American, they would be like so shocked. They're like, "Whoa! So you're like a real Native American." I'm like, yeah, that's what I said. It's like, whoa, so you're like a, and they do like the stereotypical racist kind of things, you know, like, they're like, whoa, that is like amazing. And I remember this one guy, he had this like Native American hat. It's got the feathers and stuff on it. He's like, whoa, check this out. He's literally at the job that I worked. And he's going around to like the other customers. He's like, he's a real Native American. He's like an Apache warrior. I'm like, wow. I'm like, this is brutal. And yeah, so I thought it was pretty funny. But I thought it was fascinating as well. Because one, it just seemed like it was like a fairy tale. You know, these people heard of this fairy tale from like a long time ago, and they didn't think that these people existed anymore or something. Like Egyptians, for example, you know, who speak and write in hieroglyphics kind of deal. So it was very fascinating to to actually hear that and see that, because you don't, you definitely don't get that from Canada. I'm sorry, Canadians, but you know, everybody else has got you topped. But yeah, there's some, maybe one day we'll talk about some things about Canada, but we'll leave that for another day. But yeah, it's just something that you definitely don't get from Canada, that's for sure. So that was an interesting experience, because I spent, I like to be really, like, really blunt and honest, like I spent a lot of my time, younger years, hiding that aspect of mine. And it was actually part of why I shaved my head. For those of you who don't know, I used to shave my head completely bald. And part of that reason was because I felt, and I was told, that I looked more Hispanic in that aspect. And so I liked that. And so now I have way longer hair than I used to before, and I've grown it pretty long. And so over the years, I've grown and developed and embraced things about myself a lot more. And that comes with the territory. And it's to really like show it and explain why, I would have to say that, you know, as you're growing up and as you're a child, I remember I was always taken into, like, when I was in school, like elementary school, they'd put me into like a different classroom. And I'd like, I had friends of all kinds. Like, I had Native friends, I had white kid friends, like, I had freaking everybody friends. Like, I didn't see the separation. I didn't understand it back then. So I was then put into a certain like little classroom. I always remember this one little classroom. It was like right by the courtyard. And for some reason, you could never go out in that courtyard. I don't know why, but this was like right by it. And so I had a window into the courtyard. And so it was just a small classroom. There was like maybe like six of us, eight of us maybe in this. And I think we were all from like different classrooms, I think. And so I was kind of like looking around, and I'm like, why am I in here? And I was always one to like ask questions. And I've always been one to like see patterns. And so I'm kind of thinking like, why am I in here? Like, why are we in here? And why did they take us out of the classroom and put us in here? Why can't we be in the classroom? And I would kind of raise this question. They're like, oh, you're just going to do your work in here. And I'm like, well, I don't really want to. I kind of want to be with my friends, you know? And so then it wasn't just all Native kids in this classroom, but there were probably about half of us. And so then I would eventually just like walk back out. I was always a rebel in school. So I walk back into class and I'm like, oh, no, you're going to do your work in here. This was like grade four, I think. Yeah, I'm pretty sure like grade three, grade four. And I was like, what? And until eventually I just like stopped going. They're like, oh, we're going to go to that classroom now. And I was just like, no. Just like shut that down. I'm like, no, we're not doing that. And then they eventually just let me be. And so, but what I realized later on is that it was like that a segregation, you know, that separation from the rest of the world. And I saw this over the years. And I even went to like a summer camp. I remember I would go to this summer camp, and it was, I don't know, my, they'd go there and there's all these, it was just a summer camp for Native kids. And I never really understood that. Like, I didn't really jive with them. They didn't really jive with me because I grew up with a white family. I wasn't considered Native, and they were kind of had their like little group. And that's one thing I didn't like about the whole Native culture growing up, is that there was this whole separation between them and white folks, as they would say. And I hated that because I had friends of all kinds. And so it just didn't matter. But because I grew up in a white family, I wasn't even considered, even by my, you know, biological mother. So what happened at this Native camp, I went the 1 year. I didn't really enjoy it because I didn't fit in with these kids, because they didn't like me and I didn't like them. I remember I was even like picking my teeth one time. I was just minding my own business, picking my teeth. But apparently I was picking my teeth with my middle finger, and I didn't even like, wasn't even paying attention to this chick. And she like tattletales on me, and she's just like, he's putting his middle finger to me, man. And I was like, what? Like, I'm pretty sure I was eating an orange. I'm like, I'm getting fucking orange out of my teeth. And then I got in trouble for it, and I was just like, you guys are stupid. Like, so then the next year I was set up for the summer camp again, and I told my parents, I'm like, I'm not gonna go. They're like, what, didn't you like it? I was like, no, this place sucks. And like, so I never went to there again. I joined Army Cadets a few years later. That was cool because you had all kinds of people. You had white folks, you had Asian folks, you had Native folks, you had Black folks, you had all kinds of folks in Army Cadets. Like, that was my jam, right? Like, I didn't like the whole separation. I didn't like the whole segregation between white and Native people. I didn't have that. And so, so I kind of like pulled away from my Native culture, my Native history, as I was growing up. And it was also tough living where I was living, a smaller city, smaller town. And when you saw Native people and you saw when you saw them, there was only one place that they were, and that was drunk on the streets, you know, and very rarely did you see them in like successful positions. And if you did, you had to be in like a certain area at a certain place. And so I didn't want to have to go to that certain area at a certain place. I just wanted to see them in a successful place and a successful position. And so just like you would anywhere, whether it was Black, Chinese, Indian, Asian, Chinese, whatever, they were just all around. So I lost a lot of this confidence, and that's where I started to separate myself from it and shave my head, and I did that for the longest time. And it was actually, hair to me was very, very it was very different. I've even heard people, you know, the certain things that they say, you know, they're like, oh, you look very Native with hair. I'm like, what's that supposed to mean? Is that like what are you trying to say? Like, cause, you know, and it's just, it's interesting how people can say things, but they don't quite realize what they're saying. And so, but yeah, so it's been interesting over the years. But I've grown into it, accepted it more, and kind of looked into it. I still, like I said, this one short podcast is not enough to like tell the whole thing, but just kind of like, and I don't really want to get all into it because it could be here for like hours, but just kind of want to give you the understanding of someone who is like myself, because I'm 34 years old, having grown up in this in a northern town of British Columbia. And this is actually something really interesting as well, is I lived in Vancouver for about 5 years, and so I was down here. And so in Vancouver, it's super multicultural, so multicultural. Like, white folks are the minority, like 100%, okay? We would go to the universities because I would be working at the universities, and we would play the game of like, hey, like, look for, we're in the dorm rooms, and all the names are on the dorm room doors, and not one of them was like a white name, like a John Smith or something like that, right? So we'd play the game, see if we could find one. Or we're sitting there eating lunch in the courtyard at UBC. We're like, man, we were like, spot the white guy, right? Or the white girl, right? And so it was just interesting. You see a fancy car, like let's say like a Lamborghini or maybe like an Audi R8, something like that. Like if it's a young Chinese person, it's just like, whatever. But if it's like an old white dude or like even like a young white dude, you're like, whoa, shake that man's hand. That man's doing something right. So I lived in Vancouver for about 5 years, and then I went back up north, and it was like a wake up call, because you just forgot. At least I did. You just, when you're living down in Vancouver, you forget that you're of any difference, because it's so multicultural. You just kind of go in, you do your thing, you know, and you just whatever. And, you know, it's almost like people look at you how would I describe that? They see you. And so they don't see like your clothes or your skin color or whatever, they see you. And so lived here for 5 years and you just totally like forget about everything else. And then you go back up north to go live up there and it's like, whoa, I forgot this was the thing. Just, you'd have to know it to understand it. You'd have to experience it to understand it, to really know what I'm talking about. I could go into details of like hours on a topic like this, but you'd really just have to, unfortunately, experience it in order to know and understand. So very interesting, very, very interesting. I also remember I went to this one water park in Vernon, BC. And I remember standing there, and I'm the kind of person like, I'll see patterns, but I won't know what the pattern is. I'll just know that I'm seeing a pattern, but I don't know what the pattern is quite yet until I look for it. And so I start looking for it, and then eventually I'll find it. So one time I'm at the Vernon Water Park, and it's super busy. Lineups for every single slide. And I'm like, holy smokes. And I'm looking around this place, and I'm like, there's something weird about this place. I don't know what it is. It just seems odd. And I've been living in like Edmonton and Vancouver, and so I'm looking around, and then I kind of like look down at myself and looking around, and I was like, I am the only colored person in this whole entire place, filled with hundreds of people. Like there may have been like two others peeked away somewhere, but. I was just like, whoa, I'm like, wow, reality check. And so it was quite something, that's for sure. So there's all kinds of things that you experience growing up like this, in a place like this. And then especially when you travel and you experience other people and from other countries and how they see you versus your own country. And it's just, it's so eye-opening. It's very, very interesting. So anyways, that's just a little bit about my story. Let's get back into it. I don't even know how I got into this, but yeah, so now that's a little bit about my story. So what do we have? We have settlers coming in, setting up residential schools, stealing children from native folks, and forcing them to live by their rules and their lifestyle. And then also coming up to violence, death, sexual misconduct, and all this terrible stuff. And they recently closed a residential school like in the 80s or something, like 1980s. So this is something that happened not even that long ago. So the thing is that, oh yeah, and the Canadian government teaches bullshit in their Canadian history. So you don't actually know, and they've tried to hide it for so long, and people's ignorance, not to say that if you don't know about this or if that this is all a surprise to you today, that it's totally a bad thing, because at one part it's not your fault because it's designed by the system itself. It's just that, you know, most people are ignorant because they just take the information that is given to them. They say, oh, I learned this in history class. I learned this from school. And it's just, when you open your eyes and you realize that school is nothing but an indoctrination service and teaches you pretty much essentially nothing but bullshit. And they can literally control your thinking and control your mind and your, it's quite horrific, but we're not going to get into that. But over the time of this podcast, you'll learn more and more about that, and you will eventually see it for what it actually is. And like I've said many times before, school is not a bad thing. I'm not saying that school is a bad thing. If I go to a doctor, if I go to a chiropractor, if I go to a dentist, of course I want them to go to a good school. I've been to a bad doctor, I've been to a bad chiropractor, I've been to a bad dentist, and so I want them to go to a good school. So school has its place, but at the same time, it's not the end-all and be-all. And when people realize that, well, their whole entire worlds will shift. But we're not going to talk about that today. just realize that when you start to live your life, the life that is your own, many times you have to unlearn so much of what you've already learned. So a lot of times people, they don't know about this stuff. So Canada basically destroyed a whole type of people, and they tried to hide it, and they did some horrible, horrible things. And a lot of people, oh yeah, that's how we kind of got into my own stories, because a lot of people, even myself, even being Native myself, I had the thing of the idea and the thought of that happened a long time ago, get over it, okay, let's keep moving forward. But I was ignorant myself back then as well, okay? I believed once that the school system was good. So the thing is that when you actually look into this kind of stuff, this is not a surprise. So let's fast forward now. Just recently, a couple of months ago, what happened was they took, I think it was a radar detector, not sure exactly like what the technology is or was, but they took a radar detector that could see into the ground, and they used this at one of the residential schools up in Kamloops, British Columbia. And so Kamloops is, say, 5 hours from Vancouver, where I am right now. They used this radar detector, and because they were told that there was mass grave sites in the ground at these residential schools. And so for the longest time, people kind of brushed this off and said, no, it's crazy talk. Canadian government wouldn't do that. You guys are just whatever, get over it, okay? Well, a couple months ago, the bodies of 215 kids were found using this technology at this residential school, unmarked graves. So what happened is the news broke out about this, and I was kind of doing my thing and listening to the news or seeing it on Google News, and I remember I wasn't shocked at it. I just looked at it as like, oh, 215 bodies found at a residential school. I'm like, oh, cool. I'm glad there's finally some reporting about this stuff. And I just kind of kept going on my way. That didn't surprise me. And I'm not saying that 215 kids is not a bad thing. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that I've already known about this stuff for a long time. Why? Because I know and understand that the news is bullshit, the education system is bullshit, and what we are taught is bullshit. So in order to actually get information, we have to take the time and look for that information. And we have information at our fingertips. So I've already known about this kind of stuff. So when I saw a headline like that, it was just kind of like, oh, great, it's about time they're finally talking about this. And I continued on my way. What was surprising to me was when I looked around, everybody else was surprised about this 215 kids. And I kind of stopped, and there was like these Facebook photos, everyone's posting orange on their photos, like all Child Matters or Child Lives Matter, something like that. Like, just like everybody was just like up in arms about this 215 kids. And like I said, I'm not saying that it's not bad. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I've already known about this for a long time. And what I was actually surprised about is just how surprised everyone else was, because I was like, you guys don't know about this stuff? Like, really? I literally told people this. I swear on my mother's grave that I said this to people. I said, this is interesting, because if you're shocked by these 215 I'm sorry to say, but you haven't seen nothing yet. And what happened a few weeks later in Saskatchewan, which is a couple provinces over, they found 751 bodies of more children at another residential school in unmarked graves. Unmarked graves basically means they just buried them. Like, you're not putting respect to that person who died there. You know, it's just like, you just put them in the ground, put dirt over top of them. And if it wasn't for these people looking for them, that person would never be found. We don't even know who these people are. What did they die from? Why did they die? So I told people that. I said, if you're shocked at 215, because we have like the whole, like all the Canadian flags in Canada are flying at half mast, and they're supposed to be flying at 215 days. Well, they're going to be flying a long time. I'm going to tell you that right now. They're going to be flying for generations if we continue that movement. But yeah, that's what I told people. I said, if you're shocked at 215, like, you haven't seen nothing yet. And I'm shocked that you don't know about this stuff, because this is literally like, this is out there. This information's out there. And people are just surprised about it. And I was surprised at just how surprised people were. So that was really interesting to me. And then just recently, I think last week or so, they found 183. I can't remember. It was from BC, I'm pretty sure, again, British Columbia. They found another 183. So the Canadian government knows about this. They know very well about this. They've been trying to hide it for a very long time. This is a good thing and this is a bad thing. It's a bad thing because it's bringing up a lot of trauma for a lot of people. Like my friend's mother, she's been to a residential school. She knows what this is like. So just talking about it is bringing up those emotions, those feelings, those things. That's why it's a bad thing. At the same time, it's a good thing. It's a good thing because this is undeniable. This is gonna shock the world. Because like I said, having visited different countries and people being surprised about Native Americans and being shocked at, you know, Canadians, real Canadians have colored skin and they're not white, it's going to shock the world, and it is. They're only going to find more. And if you think 751 plus the 215 plus 183, if you think that's bad, I'm sorry to say, but that there's a lot more to come. So this is a good thing because it's going to shock the world. It's a good thing because Canada can't hide from it anymore. Canada is going to have to answer. It's going to have to say something. And finally, the Native people will have the voice and be able to tell their story. Because for the longest time, they've always been brushed away to the side. Ask me how I know. So now they'll be able to get to tell their story. Now they'll be able to get to actually be listened to. So it is such a revolutionary time. It's actually quite exciting to see. And a crazy conspiracy theorist like me, who's already known about this stuff and knows that we haven't even scratched the surface yet, it's going to be a wild ride for Canada, and it's going to be really interesting. I'm going to watch this one really closely. I like where this is going. But it's also a bad thing. Here's why it's a bad thing. Because if it gets worse and they start finding more bodies and it starts sending a ripple throughout the whole entire world and all of a sudden these movements start happening about this, That's a scary thing. Because when something like that, when you have outrage from the people and you have too much of it, that's when something conveniently can happen, like another pandemic or maybe a storm of some sort. Sounds crazy. But if you knew what I knew, it's not crazy at all. False flag attacks, controlled weather patterns, what are those things? Direct energy weapons. There's all kinds of things that you can use to control the people. So if you have a mass amount of people, okay, let's say you're in a jail, and then all of a sudden there's a big riot that comes out. Well, guess what? There's certain things that happen in that jail that they say, okay, well, we have to take back control. So guess what they do? They use a different kind of force so that the people are put back into their place. So we in our country, you in your country, you in your city, we're all in our pens, our place. And if we get too out of control, something happens. Like, look at what's happening in the world today. If doctors are speaking out about coronavirus, they're being censored. They can't even ask questions about it. If doctors want to speak about the quote-unquote jab, I'm not going to say it because I may get flagged on this and get banned. YouTube already deleted one of my videos when I was talking about the jab. So you can't talk about certain things. Like, what kind of world are we living in that you can't ask questions, you can't talk about certain topics? Like, I don't know, that sounds like 1943, right? Or whatever fucking year it was, right? But that's the world we're living in. It's 2021, guys. Like, we gotta wake up to, like, what the heck is going on. So this is a good thing because Canada needs to come up with some answers. It's a good thing because finally the native people will have a voice. The native people will be listened to. The native people will be looked at differently than they've always been looked at. And they'll be able to get to tell their story. And so that's the exciting part. It's bad because it's bringing up a lot of trauma for these people. It's bad because if it gets too big and things get too out of control, and the people in power start to lose control of the people, well, what's going to stop them from taking that control back? Like I said, it sounds crazy. But when you actually see what this system is, what this whole control of the world is, that's essentially all we are. And they've been doing it for years, these kinds of things. Controlling the food system, controlling the drug system. Like, why do you think the drug war, for example, never seems to end? Because it's fueled. Why do you think the wars never seem to end? Where do you think Al-Qaeda, and where do you think Taliban, and where do you think these people who were in wars with, where do you think they get their weapons from? Like, why is it that you can pick up their weapon and you're like, made in Germany, made in USA, made in Russia? Like, what the hell? How do these people have this technology? It's because it's fueled. It's one entity fueling both sides of the party. And when you realize this and you see this, your whole mind starts to shift about the whole entire world that we're living in. I don't want to get too crazy on you, but just be open to the possibilities. So there's actually a really good video on YouTube. I'll probably put it in the description. I actually talked about it before. I might put in the description of the of this podcast, and that I think it's called the enslavement. What is it? The human enslavement. And one quote from it. Can't remember, but it just basically talked about human enslavement. Like, back in the day, you used to have chains and whips, and that's how you would enslave people. But then you created another system. The best kind of system is a system that somebody doesn't think they're enslaved. If you have somebody who thinks that they're not enslaved, but they actually are, that's the best kind of slave. Because you can get more out of them. You can get more production out of them. You can get more product out of them. But if you're cracking the whip down on them and they're in chains and you're, you know, like, you can only get so much out of them from that way. But if you give them the illusion of freedom, well, the possibilities are endless with them. And this all ties in with the education system, with the food system, with the pharmaceutical system, the everything. The media, the corporate media, like, look what is happening. Like, the corporate media is just horrendous. It's time and time again. This is why my Instagram account was deleted. Okay, so we're not going to get into all that. I don't want to go too out there with you, but you will learn all this kind of stuff over the course of this podcast, and you will see it, and you'll start to see the world differently. And you'll start to question your own beliefs and your own ideas, and that's good. That's good, because when people realize that their own beliefs and ideas and thinking is not even their own, well, then they have to go on this journey of, what is my own? So let's get back to the mass genocide of Aboriginal children. I actually never liked Aboriginal, like being called Aboriginal, because like when I thought about it, it's like Aboriginal, like look at this water bottle I'm holding in my hand. This water bottle has an abnormal shape to it. Look at my foot. My foot is all mangled. It's got an abnormal shape to it. Aboriginal, abnormal. I just never liked it. So, yes, it's a good thing, because the story is finally going to come out. The Native people are going to get the respect that they've always deserved. And Canada has no place to hide. They can't hide from this. Unless they do something bad, but it's coming out, it is out, and it's just the beginning. So what's going to happen now is, because we found, because remember, this happened from province, like, sorry if I don't know my own country, but I honestly don't know where Saskatchewan is. Well, I know where it is, but I either mix it up between the third province or the fourth province. Don't hate me, okay? I mix it up between Manitoba and Saskatchewan. Okay, it's the third province over. So we have British Columbia on the west coast. I know where that one is, and I know where Alberta is. So we have British Columbia. To the east of us, we have Alberta. And then the third province to the east of us is Saskatchewan. Okay? So we had children found in British Columbia, and then two provinces over found Saskatchewan. Now, these residential schools were all over Canada, okay? And then we found more in British Columbia. So that's three spots with these residential school unmarked graves, okay? Just dirt thrown on top of kids. Okay, like, imagine that. 1,000 kids, over 1,000 kids. Just dirt thrown on top of them, to be forgotten, to be lost. Like, the fuck is wrong with people? Like, who are these kids? Where are their parents? Where are their families? Why did they die? How did they die? And why are they just got dirt thrown on top of them to be forgotten? What are you trying to hide? Now, if you've ever played Battleship, okay? If you've ever played Battleship, little kids game, right? Little pegs. And you say, I want to go A4. And then they're like, hit. You hit my ship. You're like, okay. I hit their ship. But then you go, let's see. I'm going to go C4. Boom. You hit my battleship. Damn. Now you have one gap in between. Okay? You've got one peg on the outside, gap in between, and a peg on the other side. What do you think your next move is going to be? Probably right in the middle. You're going to go, I'm going to go B4. Give me that thing. Boom, you sunk my battleship. Okay? So if you've had kids found in BC and Saskatchewan, well, what's going to happen now is they're going to go to Alberta, but not only Alberta, they're also going to go to the other ones as well. They're going to go to every place that there was a residential school or is still standing a residential school, and they're going to look, but they're not just going to look, they're going to look even harder than they were before. And they may even go back to the same ones and look even harder as to where they've already found the kids. So that is what we're talking about here. And they're gonna find a lot, okay? They're gonna look into these stories a lot more. Because the native people, their stories were always pushed to the side and always forgotten about, nobody really took the time to listen. But now, people are gonna stop and people are gonna listen. And what that's gonna do is that's gonna start to raise questions for people. And people are gonna then start asking, hey, wait a minute. How did Canada allow this? And then the people are going to turn to the Canadian government and say, how could you allow this to happen? And that's why I say that's where the ruffling of the feathers comes in. That's where the people start to lose faith in the system. And it's a good thing and it's a bad thing. Okay? And we already talked about that, why it's a bad thing. So it's going to raise a lot of questions. They're going to be going harder at even more residential schools. And before, if they would have just like looked, they would have kind of like looked. Let's say, I'm not saying they wouldn't have actually looked, but I'm saying now, because they've found so many, now they're going to be turning over every leaf. They're going to be going through there with a fine-tooth comb. And that's going to be just incredible. And so if you think 215, 750, 183 is bad, you haven't seen anything yet. It's only gonna get worse from here. It's gonna get worse, but it's gonna be a good thing, okay? It's gonna be a good thing. Couple things we're gonna talk about. So that's what's gonna happen, is we haven't even scratched the surface. Right now, you can go on to Google and you can look for a gentleman by the name of William Coombs. William Coombs. I will put this link into the description of this podcast. William Coombs, he was a native fella who apparently lived through a residential school. And he has an interesting story. Now, if you follow me and over time and you look into the things that I look into, you begin to learn a lot of things and you begin to see a lot of interesting ties and networks between certain people. We're talking about the media system, we're talking about corporations, we're talking about the royal family. So grains of salt, and we've talked about grains of salt before. Grains of salt. What a grain of salt is this William Coombs guy. Okay, William Coombs, he talked about a story that happened, I'm pretty sure, in Kamloops. And he said that the royal family, the queen and whoever else she was with, she said that they came to the Kamloops Residential School, and they took 10 children. And these children were apparently like the top of the top of the residential school. They were like the smart native kids. And the royal family apparently took these 10 kids and had some sort of like little picnic with them. And William Coombs says that was the last they ever saw of those 10 kids. Nobody ever heard from them again. Now, when you learn more about the royal family, you learn that there's a lot of interesting things that come from there. I'm not saying Princess Diana was killed or suicided or murdered, but I would suggest look into it and don't take what the media tells you about it. Come up with your own conclusions. Come up with your own questions. You don't even have to be on one side of the coin or the other. You may even just be in the middle. You might just say, there's a lot of interesting things here, and I don't know what to believe now. I don't know if it was an inside job or it was just a freak accident. But there's so many things that have unanswered questions. I'm just gonna sit in the middle. I don't have an opinion about any of it, and that's okay. And if you're in that position, on a lot of topics, you are so much further ahead of so many people. Because so many people, all they do is just turn on the news, they accept whatever is told to them by the television, and they're like, okay, I'm supposed to believe this now. They turn it off and they continue their day. Nothing should ever have that much power that you never question what is coming out of that box. Imagine one person having that much power, that they could tell you anything that they ever wanted. They could tell you that the stars are made of jello, the sun is made of mandarin oranges. They could tell you whatever they wanted to tell you, and you never questioned it. Imagine if somebody had that much power. That's literally how people treat the television media. They never question it. No one or nothing should ever have that much power. They can control what you think, they can control your perceptions, they can control what you believe, they can control how you feel. There's a reason why companies, corporations spend billions upon billions of dollars on advertising. It is because they know the power of controlling your mind, controlling you what to think, what to buy, who to date, all of this. It is incredible. So, William Coombs has this story about the royal family taking these 10 children from Kamloops and never seeing these kids again. So, like I said, before people used to brush Native people off and say, this is a crazy story, get the fuck out of here with that. But at the end of the day, guess what's going to happen now? Now that they found all these kids in these different provinces, in these different areas, they're going to go, hey, wait a minute. I remember hearing a story from an Aboriginal guy, and he was talking about the royal family. And at the time when he was telling me the story, I thought he was crazy. But now that I'm hearing all about these residential schools and these bodies, I'm gonna go look back into this guy. But you know what? William Coombs ended up dead shortly before he was to testify about this whole situation. He ended up dead. So, going back to grains of salt, you'll hear me talk about grains of salt all the time. With a grain of salt, I can't do much with it. A grain of salt is this story. Okay, this story is just an interesting story. It's a fairy tale, it's whatever. It doesn't have much merit behind it. So, that's just a grain of salt. Okay, if I try to throw one grain of salt at you, I can't do much with it, right? But if I take a pinch of salt, can't do much with that either. I need a lot. Okay, I take a handful. I might do something with that. But I need like a 1 kilogram solid bag of salt. And if I whip that at your head, you'll either have no choice but to wake up, or you'll just be stupid and play ignorant, like what most people do. You bury your head in the salt and pretend like you don't see it. So the story by itself, there's not much. I'm looking at it right now. There's not much to it. But when you take another grain of salt about the royal family, there's a video actually online. Maybe I'll put that one up there as well. There's a video at Buckingham Palace of a naked boy climbing out the window and then falling out of the window of Buckingham Palace. Naked boy. Why this is important is because there's a lot of talk and a lot of theories and a lot of information about how the royal family is tied in to human trafficking, sex trafficking, pedophilia. Those three keywords will probably get this podcast flagged and banned. So, but that's a grain of salt. That video itself of that kid coming out the window, that's a grain of salt. You're just like, naked boy falling out the window of the Buckingham Palace. That's weird. You can't do much with that one grain of salt. You can't do much with this story from William Coombs. But when you hear that the FBI is trying to question Prince Charles about Jeffrey Epstein, and Prince Charles is avoiding them, you can't do much with that either by itself. But it is interesting. When you put all these grains of salt together, and you collect more and more over the years, you begin to get a pinch of salt. You begin to get a handful of salt. Until, undoubtedly, you get a 1 kilogram bag of salt. How many grains of salt are in a 1 kilogram bag of salt? I couldn't even begin to imagine. How many stars are there? When you begin to see all this, then you can try and put the pieces of the puzzle together and say, okay, this story about William Coombs and the royal family, it's interesting by itself. A little crazy, a little kooky, I'm not gonna lie. A little wacky. But then when you start seeing everything else, it starts to give merit to this story. So now that people have found these bodies at residential schools, they're gonna start going to other residential schools, look for more, and they're gonna find more. Undoubtedly, they're gonna find more. You guys have no idea. Like I said, when I found out about the 215, I wasn't even fazed by it. I was shocked by how shocked everybody else was. That's what I was shocked at. I was shocked at just how ignorant people are. That's what I was shocked at. I was like, wow, I knew you people were fucking ignorant. But I didn't know you were this fucking ignorant. And they're going to go back to this story with William Coombs. And they're going to find out that he died coincidentally right before he was to testify. They're going to look even deeper into this story. They're going to be looking at other people and saying, who do we know, who can we contact, who has more information about this story? And then who knows, maybe another story comes up and says, we have a similar story here in Ontario about the royal family. Who knows? I'm not saying that there is, but I'm just saying that as this begins to get more press and it becomes more undeniable, more things are going to start coming out. And that is good. But it's also very bad, because distractions a lot of times are made on purpose to get us to focus on other things. Last year, we had Aboriginals, Native people standing on the railway. The railway is our system that connects the West Coast to the East Coast, and it goes even all the way, I think, down to like Florida. It's amazing. It's amazing, this whole network. But what's also amazing is just how fragile it is. These Native people could stand in one track and they shut down so much of the entire system. It's like a ripple effect. it doesn't affect just people who work for the railroad. It affects everyday people because so much stuff is brought through by the railroad that it affects even the smallest things. So these people, I think they were called Wet'suwet'en. Please don't jump down my throat if I pronounced it wrong. But basically, I don't know the full story. Okay, this happened last year, just before Corona, actually. It was like in January. There was something, I'm pretty sure it was, once again, it was about more land. More land was being taken and more land was going to be developed on, I believe, for pipelines. And so they basically had enough. They said, no, you're not going to do that. You're not going to do that. And so they decided that they were going to camp out on the railway and just shut down the whole network. And they got fed up, and rightfully so. They got fed up. They've got very little land to begin with. And the land that they do have, they are money talks. And there are some people out there who are native and in control of these places. And you give them enough money, well, guess what? They're going to allow people to develop on their land as they please. And so these people got fed up, and they stood on the railway for quite a while, weeks, I think it was. This was felt all across in the UK. You could go onto Twitter and you could see people in the UK were saying, "We stand with Wet'suwet'en." And I was like, that's cool. That's cool that you guys, as far as the UK, are hearing this. Like, I respect that. That is cool. I like that you're doing that. So, but the thing is that coronavirus shortly happened afterwards. I'm not saying that this is what happened, but what I'm saying is that it does seem interesting, okay? Talking about grains of salt again. A grain of salt is Event 201. If you look into Event 201 was an event that happened with the world leaders and with universities, with all kinds of things, and they talked about what would happen if a global pandemic were to happen. How would we react? What would we put in place? How would we control it? This happened in October of 2019. It's huge. Anybody can look this up. Event 201. It's not a conspiracy. It's a grain of salt. So, Event 201, they talked about how a virus came from an animal. It was a pig. And it slowly developed. And then it just kind of took over. And a global pandemic happened. So they put through this simulation to see what that would be like. So, Event 201 was very salt-like, grain of salt. You can't do much with it by itself. But when you have 2020 happening shortly after, following basically just that, that's interesting. There is actually another document. I will probably get the link for that one as well. It's from, I'll put her channel up as well. She is also Canadian. She is from Ontario, and she was talking about this document basically outlining pretty much the coronavirus. And this was a document that was created years ago, so it was really interesting. So you had, at the beginning of 2020, Hong Kong protests. You're talking about million people protesting in Hong Kong. You're talking about Wet'suwet'en in Canada. All of Canada was like shut down because the railway could not move. You had things that were happening all around the world, protests, just mass protests. People were out of control. And then all of a sudden 2020 happened. Coronavirus happened. And the Wet'suwet'en people, nobody even hears from them anymore. They're forgotten about. Hong Kong, you don't hear much happening over there. I literally don't know what's going on in Hong Kong. You went from a million people protesting to that. In France, every Saturday or every whatever it was, for an entire year, These guys were protesting in France. 20 people died standing up for what they believed in over the course of that year in France, Paris. What happened to them? The yellow vest protests. What happened to them? They're gone. Nobody hears about them anymore. So this was all happening right before coronavirus. And now you don't hear about the Wet'suwet'en people. Now you don't hear about the Hong Kong protests. You don't hear about the yellow vests. I'm not saying that that's what it is. But what I'm saying is, it's interesting. So when I talk about when things get out of control and something, an event happens to put people back in control, that's kind of what I'm talking about here. I'm not saying that that's what happened with the coronavirus and everything. Okay, I don't have any proof or anything like that, but I just put things together. I just look at things and I say, it's kind of convenient. It's kind of convenient that when you look into the Bill Clintons and the Hillary Clintons, that the amount of people that they have, that they know, have committed suicide is incredible. Isn't it convenient that Jeffrey Epstein killed himself in his own jail cell and there's no video footage of it? You think he was just brought to some busted ass prison? No, he's probably brought to a pretty good prison with pretty high technology. And just conveniently, there's no video footage of it. Isn't it convenient that the Las Vegas shooting, Las Vegas has cameras tracking people every movement. Isn't it convenient that we don't have much footage of that? There is a couple of like video clips, but you have to ask yourself, where's the rest of it? Isn't it convenient that at the Pentagon on 9/11, one of the most secure buildings in the world has one of the shittiest videos of a plane flying into it? I'm talking the shittiest videos. One of the most high-tech, secure buildings in the world has one of the shittiest video clips of a plane flying into it. And that video shows a plane inches off the ground. Who can fly a plane inches off the ground? Who is that skilled? Most people wouldn't even be able to fly a plane fucking 30,000 feet in the air, let alone inches off the ground. These are just small grains of salt. You can't do much with them by himself. But over the years, and you collect more and more and more, and next thing you know, you're just swimming in grains of salt. You're looking around and you're saying, I don't know, but I ain't no conspiracy theorist, but shit's just not adding up around here. I'm going to tell you that right now. Oh, man. Yeah. So I'm going to leave the link to this article about William Coombs. Check it out. Oh, yeah. And by the way, this is actually a really interesting Reddit thread. This is from 9 years ago. I'm looking at it right now. It says 9 years ago. What's interesting on here is there's even a guy on this comment thread, and he talks about, he's like, oh, so what you're saying is that, because I guess they were using radar back then, and he's saying, oh, he's kind of making fun of the guy. He's saying, oh, you're just saying that they're not looking deep enough, that they put so much dirt over top of these bodies that you wouldn't be able to find them, and that you need to use even better technology. Yeah, okay, how deep do we go? Right? Do we just like look to the center of the earth or what? Like, so he's kind of like making fun of the guy, and this was from 9 years ago. You just want to like look at that guy and be like, look where the fuck we are today, motherfucker. That's right, get fucked. Told ya, what's up? Holla at ya, boy. So, really interesting article. I'm not saying that it's true, but what I'm saying is that maybe it has a little bit more merit 10 years later, when we've now found over 1,000 unmarked bodies. 1,000. Think of that. 1,000. 1,000 kids, just dirt thrown on top of them. Never, these kids never would have been found if they were never being looked for. Do you think the Canadian government was looking for them? Fuck no. Because the Canadian government knows they're there. They know that very well. So the Canadian government is looking the other way. They're ignoring that shit like crazy. No, they know. They know. And they're trying to think of how do we even respond to all this before they find more. Because they've got to make a response, but they can't make their response so, what do you say, so generic that they're like, they say one thing, and then all of a sudden, 1,000 more bodies are found, and then they're like, oh, shit. Then they got to like change what they said. It kind of like negates what they already said kind of thing. Does that make sense? But anyways, I think that's pretty much all I wanted to cover today in Canada's mass genocide of Native American children. Is that Canada's got a dirty secret. We had anti-Canada Day protests happening on July 1st, which is Canada Day. And yeah, it's actually really interesting. But you got this story. You've got, they're going to be looking for more. They're going to be finding more. The stories, Native people are finally going to be listened to. The stories are going to come out. Even crazier stories are going to come out. It's going to go as far as the Vatican, I think, and the Pope, the royal family. Like, this is going to fucking shock the world. And so hold on to your seats. Because, like I said, it's a good thing and it's a bad thing. It's a bad thing because it's going to fucking ripple through people and people are going to demand answers. People are going to lose faith in the system. The system is created. And I know I should like end this podcast, but like the system is created so that people like myself, the system's not created for people like me. If you're listening to this and you're listening to these words right now, it's not created for people like you either. It's for people who can't think for themselves. The system is created for people who need somebody to tell them how to live their life. So when you start to break people's minds open and you start to show them that the system is created not in a good way, what you're doing, and I've talked about this before, is you're going after their belief system. And a lot of people won't be able to handle this. There's a lot of people out there who are not Native who are hearing about this, and they're losing faith in the Canadian government because they're like, well, how could this happen? How could 1,000 children just have dirt thrown on top of them to be forgotten? And they never would have been found if these people never would have looked for them. How could this happen in our country? Known as some of the nicest people across the world, and they did this. So these people who had such a belief in the Canadian government, in Canada itself, that is breaking. And that is breaking their belief system, that is breaking their soul. And they're just in shock. They're like, this isn't Canada. This isn't my Canada. We're Canadians. We're nice people. We love our people. We love our natives. How could we do this to them? So that is a good thing that we're going to be doing that to people. It sucks because it is painful for those people to be learning this kind of stuff, and it's going to be breaking their belief system. Because if you've believed in the system for so long and that system turns out that it's not good, well, where do you go after that? It's like if you had a job that you thought that you wanted to do for the rest of your life, but turns out you didn't, you're kind of lost. You're like, that's what I thought I wanted to do. Now I don't know what I want to do because I don't want to do that. It's not what I thought it was. Or maybe you fell in love with someone you thought that that's who you were going to spend the 80 years of your life with. But it turns out it wasn't. But you spent so much time believing that it was, and then all of a sudden it turns out, you know, that it's not. Now you have no idea. You have no direction. You're done. You're thinking like, I don't know what to do with myself anymore. I don't know what to believe. What is right and what is wrong? So that's going to be happening a lot in the next coming weeks. And the only merit for the Canadian government is the Canadian winter. That'll buy them some more time, because more snow and ice will come down. It'll make it much harder to find these kids, and it'll buy them some time so they can think of a story as to an excuse, and hopefully people will forget about it over that time. But from now until then, they're digging away. They're looking at it. And so people are going to start asking, why? How did these children die? And why were they just had dirt thrown on top of them? What does the Pope got to say about it? What is the stupid ass Trudeau got to say about it? We want answers. There's a lot of questions, and people are going to want some answers. And if there's one thing I know, you do not ask questions. You will be shut down. All right, so I hope you guys enjoyed this. It is a long podcast. A lot of information in here. And if you'd like, you can most definitely join me on YouTube, Unplugged Freedom. Join my Telegram channel, Unplugged Freedom. Just search for it. You can join me on, where else? This podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can join my podcast, Unplugged Freedom. And you can also go to unpluggedfreedom.com. You can sign up to my mailing list. I'm in the middle of creating a lot more and refining a lot more of what I've already built. So that takes time. Busy person, be patient. Download my ebook. Okay, it's at unpluggedfreedom.com. Hopefully you enjoy it. Hopefully you get something from it. And yeah, I either want to build that more or create something totally new. But yeah, thanks for listening. If you listen to this, this is an hour and a half long. You learned a lot in this. And if you did listen to this whole entire thing, let me know, because it's you guys who listen from the very beginning to the very end. It's you guys who are the coolest. I'm not saying that those other ones are not. You know, we do lead busy lives. Not all of us have an hour and a half to listen to some guy fucking ramble on for that time. But seriously, I appreciate it. If you listen to this for this whole entirety, I gotta say, like, that means a lot to me. Because I'm just putting this out there. And I hope that you get something from it. I hope that you take action from hearing it. I hope that you can better yourself. You can better your life. You can make better choices from the information that is heard, not just from this one podcast, but from all of them. And so, yeah, if you listen to this, please let me know. Send me an email. Join my email list. Send me an email. Send me a message on... I do have a Facebook page, Unplugged Freedom, as well, but I don't really do much on it. Telegram. Send me a message on Telegram, Unplugged Freedom. And yeah, like I would love to know, like, you guys are awesome. Thank you very much for listening to this. If you did listen, like, I really appreciate that. I'm, like I said, I'm just some guy just chatting and just for an hour and a half, and who's gonna listen, I have no idea. So, but if you did listen to this and you did enjoy this, like, I want you to know I really appreciate that. I'm really glad that there's somebody out there who actually listened to this kind of information and who appreciates it. And so, yeah, I would love to make things shorter, but I, as you can see, I just go. Like, I have no script. I'm not sitting here reading off of anything. I hate it when people are just reading off of shit. I'm just going. I've got the information in my head. I'm trying to put it down onto audio or video, however I do it. And so hopefully you enjoy it. All right, so Once again, Nathan, Unplugged Freedom Podcast, and thank you very much for listening. I will talk to you guys later.